I'm Congressman John Garamendi. I represent the 3rd Congressional District, which stretches across 8 counties in Northern California and has 200 miles of the Sacramento River Valley from Benicia all the way north to just short of Chico. It is an incredible district. I live in Walnut Grove along the Sacramento River in the southern portion of the district. I've had the great pleasure of representing the 3rd Congressional District since November 2009.
Well, obviously, you're seeking office because you feel that you're representing the North State pretty well. Can you explain 3 key policy areas where you think you're more in step with local voters than those running against you?
Well, certainly. My task is to represent an incredibly beautiful, diverse portion of California, 2 major Air Force bases, Beale and Travis. So one of my tasks is to make sure that the those bases, which are critical to national security, are protected, that the tasks that are done there, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance at Beale and air mobility out of Travis down in the Fairfield area, that they have the resources necessary to carry out their critical national security issues. And, of course, as a result of those 2 bases, we have an enormous number of veterans, almost 70,000 veterans in this district. And so my concern for the veterans follows along from my concern for these 2 critically important national security Air Force bases. In addition to that, this is a very, very large agricultural district. This is a district that has a $4.4 billion farm gate. Most everything you can imagine is grown in this district. Most of California rice is grown in the district. Many of the tree crops, nuts of all kinds, peaches, prunes, you name it. It's all grown here. Enormous wine industry in the district, cattle. All of this is part of my task of representing the district, and I'm a farmer and a rancher. I grow pears in the Delta. My wife and I grew up on a ranch. My family's ranch up in the mountains in Calaveras County goes back to the 1860s. And my wife and I have run our own ranch since 1977. And so we continue to ranch today and grow pears. And so agriculture is part of my life, as is the representation of agriculture and the needs that it has, ranging from trade negotiations, where right now the Trump administration has really put California agriculture back on its heels as a result of the trade war that is imminent and, in fact, already taking place for many California products, as China has already imposed tariffs on many California products. And so that's the second part of it. Third part is the educational system. I represent the University of California, Davis, one of the great research universities in the world, the largest agricultural research anywhere in the world, and, of course, now medicine and biotech of all kinds, and the 30-some thousand students that are there, both undergraduate and graduates. That's why I've introduced legislation to allow students to refinance their student loans. You can refinance your house. You ought to be able to refinance your student loans at a lower interest rate. So we're pushing that along. The other, and of course, the educational system to make sure that people have the ability to have the job skills to fit into a modern California and American economy. And so job training becomes critically important, and we reach out through our Manufacturing Advisory Committee to make sure that the manufacturing sector, which is everything from putting tomatoes in a can and grapes into a wine glass, all of that is manufacturing. But the skill sets that are needed to make that happen come from the ongoing training programs, some of that at community colleges, some of it in the apprenticeship training programs. And finally, we have a very large percentage of seniors in this district. And so when the Republicans proposed to cut Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, as Speaker Ryan has said that he wants to do, we push back. We say, no way, no how. These services are critically important. And so I'm there fighting for the seniors, and, in fact, have introduced legislation that would provide seniors with a more equitable cost of living increase in their Social Security, and at the same time protecting the various programs that are so important to seniors. For example, in most of my district, since it's rural, the federally qualified health care clinics are critical. Those do come out of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and the 4 million Californians, many of them in my district, that were able to get insurance as a result of that, So we fight fiercely to make sure that they're able to keep their insurance. So those are the major areas. We've got the military, the veterans, the agriculture, the educational systems. All of these things are critical. And then there are the individual problems that occur. My office has already been able to have veterans receive nearly $4 million of unpaid benefits. Just working with the veterans, working through their problems, we reach out to them and help them interact with a very complex Veterans Administration and been successful in getting them the benefits that were denied, but were definitely owed to them. And the same thing with Social Security and seniors and Medicare and all these things. So this is constituent casework, and there's an enormous pleasure in helping just one person get what they deserve from the federal government.
Illegal immigration and cannabis seem to have joined abortion and firearms as wedge issues in a supposed culture war across the nation. Where do you stand on each of these issues, and how much latitude should states have to set their own rules?
Well, with regard to cannabis, California is setting its own rules. It has voted for recreational marijuana as well as medical marijuana, and it's the law in California. The counties all of my counties are left to figure out how to implement that. Those are county issues. We work where we can with the counties. At the federal level, marijuana is considered to be equal to opioids, heroin, and so forth, and is severely restricted. The world is changing across the nation with both medical marijuana and recreational marijuana, and the result of that change has created conflict with the federal law. The reality is the federal law is going to have to change and accommodate what is actually happening in the many states. And one of the most severe problems that the state of California and other states like Washington and California has is that the marijuana industry cannot use the banking industry. And that creates a cash economy. And that means a very dangerous situation in which criminal elements are always hunting for that cash. And so we need to address this. Now, I think you said immigration was the other issue.
Yeah, immigration, abortion, and firearms.
Four of them. With regard to immigration, it's absolutely essential that we have a comprehensive immigration reform. That includes DACA. That includes securing the border. That means we have to deal with the fact that we have some 10 million, maybe as many as 12 million people in the United States that are not documented. Many have been here for at least a couple of generations, and we need to find a way to bring them out of the out into the open so that they can be, so we know who they are, so that they have papers, so they can work in an open society. Now, if they want to become citizens, they can get in the back of the line with others that have already applied ahead of them. With regard to DACA, absolutely, we need a DACA bill, not some chintzy bill, but one that really does provide these young men and women who came here as children, brought by their parents, not asking for permission to come, but just the parents brought them along. They've grown up here. They are in every way a part of our society, and we need to make sure that they have a path to citizenship, and that they can continue to pursue their very real American dreams. Ag labor is critically important. That has to be part of a comprehensive bill, along with high-tech visas. All of that is possible. And then when we do all of this, E-Verified needs to be the final piece of it, so that once we put in place programs that deal with the hidden part of this situation, that people can get a job and employers can be certain that they are hiring people that have the legal and appropriate papers. With regard to abortion, I think a woman needs to be able to have her own choice how to deal with this, so I'm pro-choice. With regard to, what was the fourth? I think that's it.
Firearms.
Firearms. I have supported legislation here in Congress to deal with the firearm issues. Specifically, if you can't fly, you ought not be able to buy a gun. I also believe that the California laws with regard to assault weapons, where assault weapons are banned in the state of California, and magazine and the amount of cartridges in a magazine is limited. I think all those are appropriate. The California laws could and should be national, and that includes all of the necessary information before a person buys a gun. And so it should be imposed in universally across the United States. I do believe that in the Second Amendment. I own guns myself. I've hunted all my life and continue to do so now. But in many cases, there are people that are able to buy guns that should never have them. So background checks are important. And so the assault weapons ban is, I think, also appropriate. That's a military weapon. It has no purpose in hunting. And in defending, it doesn't make any sense for that either.
The North State differs from the rest of California in many different ways. What is the most critical challenge that the North State faces, and how would you help address this challenge?
Water. Water is absolutely critical in the North State. Right now, I'm having a major fight with Governor Brown. This has been an eight-year battle to stop his tunnels, which are just a terrible waste of money and extraordinarily destructive. It's a boondoggle and destructive of the largest estuary on the west coast of the Western Hemisphere. From Alaska to Chile, there is no more important estuary than the Delta. So we fight that fight. Most recently, there's been an amendment here in Congress proposed by a Republican, Ken Calvert, to prohibit any lawsuit associated with anything to do with the tunnels. And that is a huge problem for Northern California. The operations of the tunnels may very well rip off water that is appropriately and legally the property of water districts in Northern California with their water rights. And under that proposed legislation, which I am now fighting, those districts could not go to court. And certainly no court case would be allowed to deal with any of the environmental damage. It is terrible public policy. I think we're going to be able to fight it. I persuaded Senator Feinstein to oppose the legislation, and she will be doing so, and Senator Harris also. Here in the House of Representatives, we continue to marshal the support of Northern California folks that know that the tunnel is a multi-$17 billion boondoggle, destructive. And then this prohibition on any lawsuits is just one more added affront to Northern California.
Our region is the source of much of the state's water supply. Do you think there's anything wrong with the current system? And what's your stance on current water infrastructure proposals, such as raising the height of Shasta Dam and building Sites Reservoir and the Delta Bypass Tunnels?
Well, first of all, Governor Brown's Twin Tunnels is a multi-billion-dollar, $17 billion boondoggle, wasting money and creating the existential threat to the Delta, the largest estuary on the west coast of the Western Hemisphere. No way, no how, and we're going to do whatever's necessary to make sure that it doesn't happen. I have proposed an alternative called a water plan for California, a comprehensive plan that would provide the water that California needs while protecting Northern California water. A key element in that plan is the establishment of storage systems throughout the state. In Northern California, Sites Reservoir, an off-stream reservoir, which I've been a longtime supporter of, Republican Congressman Doug LaMoff and I introduced legislation on this 5 years ago, and we continue to push it along. It is coming together. I continue to support the effort to build that tunnel by making sure that the federal government is involved. We added $4.5 million to the recent appropriation bill so that the Bureau of Reclamation can carry out its part of the work to get that underway. There are also storage problems south of the Delta. Aquifers in Northern California and Southern California need to be put in place. Consider for a moment that there's a million acre-feet of unused water in Southern California every year. In fact, the sixth biggest river on the west coast of the Western Hemisphere is the sanitation systems of Southern California. They take fresh water from Northern California and the Colorado River, clean it, use it once, clean it to a higher standard than the day it arrives in Southern California, and dump it in the ocean. Incredibly stupid. They need to recycle that water and they need to store it in the underground aquifers of Southern California, which are actually larger when taken together than Shasta Reservoir. With regard to raising Shasta Reservoir, very, very complex. We need to fully understand the cost, the implications, the environmental implications before that moves forward.
Homelessness has become an entrenched problem for most communities, but remedies are elusive. What effective measures might be taken at the federal level to end homelessness?
Homeless in California and across the nation is a problem. It turns out that a very high percentage, perhaps more than 50% of the homeless, are veterans. And we've established a program for veterans to be able to get specific housing vouchers. We're using this now in the southern part of my district in Solano County, where six or seven or eight homeless veterans pool their vouchers and are able to pay the mortgage on a housing program in which six of them would share a house or, well, several rooms in a house. This is being built in Dixon. There's another one in Vacaville. I want to take that kind of creativity to the northern sector and add it to what is happening in Marysville with the Habitat for Humanity that is doing a similar program in the Marysville, Yuba County area. There are solutions. Mental health is one of them. Drug addiction is another, and that's drug and alcohol addiction. All of these things are necessary, along with job training where and when possible, and dealing with the very real problems that these unfortunate homeless people have. So it's housing, it's jobs, it's medical care, it's mental health care. All of these things need to be put together in a comprehensive program, and that's exactly what's happening in Marysville with the Habitat for Humanity. To try to make this happen throughout my district, later this year in September, we're going to hold a symposium. The eight counties that I represent are going to come together with their best practices and share their best practices with the counties and cities and other agencies that deal with homeless. And from that, I expect we're going to see some very interesting collaborative work between the counties and certainly the sharing of critical information.
All right, here's the final question. Congress is entrusted with the power of the purse, budgeting and spending public money. What policy areas and programs do you think deserve more money, and what would be the source of that money?
Well, keep in mind that the Republican tax scam in December ripped $1.8 trillion, that's $1.8 trillion, out of the federal treasury over the next decade, making it extremely important to fund vital programs like transportation. The transportation programs and infrastructure programs for the federal government have to be put forward, but unfortunately, the opportunity to fund additional infrastructure programs was lost when that tax scam passed in December, giving $1.8 trillion to America's largest corporations and to the one percenters out there. When that happened, without a Democratic vote in Congress, it makes it extremely difficult to fund education, to fund homeless programs, to fund infrastructure of all kinds, whether it's transportation or dams or repairing bridges. All of those things became so much more difficult as a result of that terrible public policy. To give that kind of money to those who would like it but don't need it, and at the same time set middle America into a situation in which their tax cuts, which are helpful but not huge, disappear in just another 6 years. And so they, middle America, will be facing a tax increase in 6 years as a result of the legislation that was put forward. The lost opportunity is extraordinarily sad. The opportunity, the repatriation of corporate profits that were stashed overseas, bringing it back to the United States, could have gone into an infrastructure bank where those profits could have been used to fund infrastructure programs into the future and at the same time provide a opportunity for a return on that money to those corporations that brought that repatriated profits back to the United States. Unfortunately, didn't happen. It was proposed. It was there. But that tax bill pass Congress without one public hearing. Not one accountant, not one tax lawyer, not one economist was brought in to opine on the validity of it. So we're faced with a very, very difficult problem of funding government going forward. And we're going to suffer as a result of that. There's one place that I do believe we can cut a substantial amount of money, and that is in the nuclear weapons program of the United States. We will spend $1.2 trillion in the next 15 years on rebuilding the entire nuclear bomb infrastructure of the United States. So we are well into a new nuclear arms race with Russia and China. And the result of that is going to be extraordinarily dangerous because all of the delivery systems are new, they are stealthy, and all of the rules that were used in the previous Cold War don't apply with these new weapon systems. And so I want a little bit of sanity here. I don't think we need to spend the amount of money that we're spending, and I think we need to proceed extremely careful. And we ought to be engaged in negotiations with China and Russia about what our three countries will face in what is a new nuclear arms race.
Congressman John Garamendi of Walnut Grove, U.S. Representative for California's 3rd District, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.